This is Indigo Radio, deepening understanding and making connections.
This is Anna in Atlanta for Indigo Radio. And today I headed down to the High Museum in Atlanta, Georgia, to attend a rally that was put on by the Atlanta Radical Art Collective. You can find them at ATL Radical Art on Instagram. And what they asked was, how does empire use art against the people and to cover up complicity in genocide? They asked for people to hold Atlanta art institutions accountable for dangerous partnerships. They work to expose the High Museum's art washing of the Palestinian genocide and uplift the collective liberation movement between Palestine and Atlanta, including a divestment from Cop City and Israel by the arts institutions in Atlanta. The rally featured local artists and speakers. This show captures those voices that were out on the street today.
Two types of artists. The first, which capitalists love, are the artists that create with the belief that their work transcends the human experience, the human struggle, and human disparity. Art to them is a mere escape and owes nothing to the transformation of thought or society. Its only responsibility is to the aesthetic, the whimsical, or what we call high art. It is often marked by characteristics of being inaccessible to the working class, gatekept, and full of jargon to distract us from its shallow concepts. If I'm to be really gracious, this type of art believes that through mere representation of diversity, we can all just live in peace. Yet this type of art bears no responsibility to show the lived realities of those communities under empire. The other type of artist arguably fights against this capitalized, corporatized form of art. They see their role as existing within the movement and of the people. They are the storytellers that center and uplift the silenced amongst us, and they demand that their audience confront the rawness of their message. Around the world, these artists have been the chroniclers of their land and their people in the struggle and in victory. They've also been the ones to rewrite and to reimagine the futures of their people. They reach their audiences in ways that evoke empathy. They are truly the educators that inspire participation. So with these descriptions, I'm sure most of us can identify where institutionalized art aligns itself. While exhibiting works from around the world, profiting off of the brilliance of indigenous artists, they leave out the most important part, their stories, their struggle, their humanity. Institutions, even the most self-identifying progressive spaces, are usually the most silent when Black and brown lives are at stake. Their principles are nowhere to be found, and art transcends politics are in the conversation once again. And so we are here today asking the High Museum and the Woodruff Art Center to re-examine their principles and to hold them accountable for such dangerous partnerships as we see here and to expose their art washing of the Palestinian genocide. After the launch of Israel's genocidal attack on Gaza, the Woodruff Arts Center, home to the High Museum and the Alliance Theater, honored Molly Blank of the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation. The Blank Foundation has continuously funded and supported Cop City and the Atlanta Police Foundation, pledging to donate $6 million. Unsurprisingly, Blank has also sent a blank check for $750,000 to Israel following the beginning of the genocide of Palestinians. Can I hear a shame?
Shame!
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 We demand that our institutions of Atlanta divest from these vile, racist, genocidal projects and to commit to the principles of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. We ask them to join the struggle with Palestinian civil society for Palestinian freedom, justice, and equality. We ask them to boycott Israeli academic and cultural institutions for their deep and persistent complicity in Israel's denial of Palestinian rights that are stipulated in international law. As radical artists, artists committed to equity and justice, and with an appreciation for global and intersectional nature of oppression, we are responsible. We have a duty to make the connections between our fights and to expose every party complicit in furthering crimes against humanity. As radical artists, we must also reclaim the stories that are silenced in these spaces. So without taking up more time, we bring you the artists in our Cultural Resistance March caravan, dedicated to the storytellers and artists in Palestine. First up, I'd like to hand over the mic to Umema from ATL Radical Arts.
From the river to the sea!
From the river to the sea!
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
Yes! So as artists, it's our duty to change the narrative. It is our responsibility, our purview, our turf to thwart the dominant narratives that have always been used to justify the mass murder, surveillance, ethnic cleansing, and colonization of black and brown people all over the world. Artists have always carried the torches of resistance. It is the stories we write that get passed on to the children. It is the new worlds that we have drawn and painted that are the blueprints for the new world in which all of us are free. It is the ink of the writers of justice who are comparable to that of the blood of the martyr. Artists, we are the most free people of all people. We have the power to reject violence and build liberated worlds. It is our responsibility to free everyone we touch. The late Rafat Al-Arir, a Palestinian writer from Gaza, told us, "If I die, let it be a tale, and a tale will be told." And other Palestinians have been telling us, if we die, let it at least pave the way for collective freedom. Have you heard of a people more free than that? That even in death, they seek to free each other, and they seek to free the world. Let me tell you the most important story the Palestinians have left us. That is the story of their victory. As we watch the US and Israel raise the toll of Palestinian martyrs by the day, by the hour, by the second, in the most horrific ways they can imagine. As we watch the disgusting, blood-stained land grabs in Gaza, and the US and Israel colluding to sell that land here in the US behind the backs of martyred Palestinians. As we watch the empires destroy, let me remind you of something. Do not say about the Palestinians that they have lost this fight. Victory is not won by how many people you can murder. Victory is not won by how much land you can steal. Victory is not won by how many people you can exploit, how much money you can make, how much blood you can spill. Yeah. Palestinians have not lost this fight. Palestinians have destroyed the illusion of the victory of empire. Do not say anything about the US and Israel except that they are the losers. They are the humiliated in this fight. Palestinians are victorious because they demonstrate resilience, sumu, steadfastness, mercy and compassion, yes. mutual aid and transformative justice. They refuse to bow their heads. They refuse to leave their homes.
Yes!
That is victory. And the U.S. and Israel don't know what victory is, only bloodshed. Even under the worst circumstances, we watch Palestinians find joy, be generous, care for each other's children, and refuse to give up this fight. They fight with nothing but rocks tied to their stomachs to curb the hunger, and the rocks in their hands, and yet they cannot be defeated. This is a reminder that the U.S. and Israel can take every single piece of Palestinian land. They can martyr every Palestinian child. They can destroy every home in Gaza, but they can never take our souls. Our souls are alive, the most alive in this world. Our martyrs are not dead, and they watch over us and build Gaza in the heavens. They can never really kill the Palestinians. You cannot kill a people who know death is not the end. You cannot kill a people whose souls are connected to the life of that land. We are victorious because we refuse to accept conditions of violence for our family and for the rest of the world. Palestinians have already won this fight, and the U.S. and Israel have already lost. It is up to us to demonstrate this victory globally, using the manual of victory given to us by the Palestinians. For every death, I promise we will tell a tale. For every martyr whose blood was spilled, we will use it to pave the way for collective freedom. So do not say that the Palestinians have lost. No, they are alive and they are victorious. Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
They can never kill her! They can never take her! She lives in the souls of millions of people worldwide. That is our victory. What does empire have, huh? Blood on their hands? Our ancestors haunting them in their clean homes? Violence and exploitation at every turn? They can keep it. Palestinians have taught us a new world is possible, and it is up to artists to put together that blueprint. Ya Rab, grant us victory in this life and the hereafter. Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
I was thinking about the anxiety that I was feeling this morning, and that realizing that the anxiety is rooted on relying, my fears of relying on community. I am an escaped evangelical, and part of my new spiritual practice is reclaiming Christian songs and for the divinity in myself and in each other in the world. So I'm reclaiming a song I used to sing for a very different reason, to be from me to you, to the community, as a practice of vulnerability, but also proclaiming our collective freedom as Palestine has demonstrated for us. Bear with me. This song is weird without the instrumental, but I'm gonna do it anyway because fuck aesthetics.
I keep searching for the answers to out. It's like I'm caught between belief and wanting out. But there's a promise that my soul just cannot shake. That I am loved despite the struggles of my faith. And now that my eyes are open, I can see that even though I'm broken, you're the mystery that I put my hope in. The more I seek, the more I find. Don't wanna live like I'm an orphan with no bed. Still I keep searching for a place to rest my head. But I have all I've ever needed. Help me trust beyond what I'm not seeing. To be content with all the grace you've given. In my weakness, you are strong. In my weakness, you are strong. Your grace is my soul sufficiency, and your power is made perfect when I'm weak. I just want to shout it out for the world to hear it. We'll be free no matter what we're feeling. I'm down and out, I just cannot help believing that we'll be free no matter what. We'll be free no matter what. We'll be free no matter what.
My name is Andrea, and I decided to wear my cultural cupil from Mexico because the world needs to know that we stand with Palestine. So this is a monologue from Rowand Jaror, born 1997 in Al Darash. Relax, girls, don't be scared. This is just the sound of aimless shooting. That's what our teacher said as soon as the bombing started. After a while, her mobile phone rang and she spoke a few words only, 120 matrix. She smashed her mobile onto the floor and told us, go home, all of you. As soon as we went into the yard, we saw our parents, some of them in their pajamas, some in their undershirts, and some even barefoot. We were very scared. My two sisters and I kept waiting for my dad, but he was really late, so we decided to go home by ourselves even though it's a long way. On the way, I saw something for the very first time, a murder, being carried on a coffin wrapped in the flag of Palestine, with banners around with people crying. But the weird thing of it all is that the funeral had barely 30 people in it. Funerals usually have thousands. Then I felt that there was something really big, catastrophe, going on in this country. I got scared for Dad. I didn't want him to come get us anymore because I was scared he'd be hit by a rocket. I was also scared of dying, and I didn't want to die now because it would be a catastrophe if I died and no one came to my funeral. I started running home and people were running around us like it was doomsday. No one knew where they were going because the sound of the rockets didn't stop. Every few seconds a rocket would fall and shake the ground. I felt that the streets were not the same streets, nor were the people the same people. Strange sights, sounds, and smells. After the war, a lot of things changed inside me. I started hating going to the bathroom. From the second I would go in, I can't wait to come running out because all the time in the war, I was afraid they'd hit a rocket onto the house where I came to the bathroom. In there, one would be great to focus and I would not be able to rest. I also started hating the morning line at school. When the war started, I was in line. That's why today I feel that the minutes in the line are hours and I fear and worry. All school for me is one pile and the line is another. I started having terrifying dreams. All night I have conflict within myself between the desire to sleep and fear of nightmares. Sleep became monsters hiding behind my eyelids. I stay like that till the morning. I don't know when I sleep or when I wake up. I want to become an actress, and this is a hard dream to fulfill in Gaza, especially for girls. I tell myself it's a shame for people in Gaza to be deprived of my talent because I would become an important actress. But if they don't want me, to hell with them. I'll go to any country and act there. Gazans are deprived of every day anyway. It doesn't stop theater. Sometimes I think people in Gaza can barely find food. How are they going to find any theater? You know? I wish I could just live in a civil democracy society with peace and 20 cinemas and keep watching movies and flying in my imagination and dreaming.
There is dirt on the date fruit. The blessed month is upon us at last. Ramzan Kareem and Ramadan Mubarak. Though in place of joy, there is only dread. How much blood can seep into a container of flour before it starts to taste like apartheid? How many raids into Al-Aqsa will perturb worshippers before they have even made dua? There is dirt on the date fruit and prayers held beside rubble. My hunger pangs will cease by the time the sun sets, while Palestinians break fast with animal meal and expired military food packs. While skin stretches over the bones of 12-year-old Palestinian boys until it doesn't. While newborns reach for the breast of their mothers, whose milk has long run dry. Since when do the cherub cheeks of a child look gaunt like their grandfather's? There is dirt on the date fruit and prayers held beside rubble and no food to break fast with. Did young Mohannad Maqdas look to the sky with hope before a faulty food package ended his life? Do the dates scattered on the ground and coated with the dust of broken homes still taste sweet? Is every prayer in Gaza a solemn janazah in a never-ending funeral procession? Does the hum of war planes wake a family for suhoor if they could even sleep at all? I'm not sure how I can kiss perfumed cheeks in salam when I know the stench of death accompanies Palestinians for iftar. There is dirt on the date fruit and prayers held beside rubble and no food to break fast with and minarets under siege. Here in the belly of the beast, they gorge on excess, overconsumption and exploitation beat the already rotting carcass of morality, holding hands over their ears when others cry of injustice and persecuting students for resisting occupation while making land acknowledgments in the same breath. There is dirt on the date fruit and prayers held beside rubble and no food to break fast with and minarets under siege and children awaiting Eid. Tonight, a room full of artists will laud each other's wealth, while all that remains of Rafat al-Arir are his poetry and his bones. While Israel will invade the last safe place for people to starve quietly, as the morning sun kisses Gaza's sky, who knows what carnage we will see after a night of terror. I will grieve as I start my fast, and I will still think the people orchestrating this slaughter are the truly dead ones. There is dirt on the date fruit and prayers held beside rubble and no food to break fast with and minarets under siege and children awaiting Eid. But there is liberation around the corner. Art without justice is idol worship, and that's why we are here today. We are here to remember, to create, to grieve, to fight. Hope will be our teacher and rage will be our companion. As we scream and shake the earth until every single one of our people are free. From Atlanta to Palestine to Sudan to Haiti to Kashmir to Congo. We will win because we have to. We will win because it is inevitable. While there remains dirt on the date fruit and prayers held beside rubble and no food to break fast with and minarets under siege and children awaiting Eid, there is liberation around the corner. There is a free Palestine within our lifetimes. Thank you. Yay!
Hello, my name is Kira. I write poetry, mostly free verse. And I typically don't write poetry about social justice issues. It's usually really personal to me, but I felt as if this piece is personal to me, just in like the fight for liberation for Palestine. And I wrote this on Christmas Day, so it's still kind of keeping in theme with holidays. It's Christmas Day, and your joy has been conquered by fear. Instead of warm bodies unwrapping gifts, it's your shaking hands lifting white sheets off of corpses. As I sit in the home my grandparents built, filled with food and standing on all four walls, you tear away the moldy piece from your slice of bread. Maybe you're at the beach, a hospital, a place of worship. Anyway, the olive trees that your ancestors planted are burned, and the strawberries went unpicked and unshipped this season. The bustle of your cities has turned into chaos and camaraderie. A stranger is now your comfort in your darkest hours. To lose everything at once can sometimes feel like you had nothing at all. But children of Gaza, stay alive. children of the West Bank, stay alive. It's Christmas Day, and Bethlehem has been bombed. Beyond peace on earth, a nativity scene out of the rubble is what I long for, a new birth. Resilience is an audacious thing to ask, but children of Gaza, stay alive. Children of Gaza, I long for you to thrive.
Thank y'all so much. I just needed to let that out because I just started speaking out and showing up and putting my body in line recently, and I'm sorry about making this about me, but the more and more I speak up, the more I find that they're trying to silence me including right now.
Right.
With that, I'll read the Palestinian Gaza monologue that I was given the privilege to read and given the space, so thank y'all so much.
Woo! Yeah.
Thank
Woo!
You.
Woo! Yes.
The name of this monologue is from Amjad Abu Yassin, born in 1993 in the Ashiti camp. A day before the war, Gaza for me was joy and happiness. Trips and going to the sea. Life seemed to be happy, and I wasn't thinking about anything. I had one dream, that Gaza would develop an art and sports. I felt that everything was fine except these two things. But it turned out nothing was fine. No art, sports, health, or safety. It's all the same. Gaza stopped being the city of my dreams because my dream is to be an actor. Am I going to be an actor for 20 people in Gaza and wait till the border opens? If it was in my hands, I would try as much as possible to reduce wars, death, and violence. It's a shame for every drop of blood that falls on the ground. I hate the silence and the abnormal tolerance that people have. I wish y'all Gaza would wake up tomorrow and walk the streets y'all nightly. Enough!
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 When the war started, we were playing football, and the atmosphere was strange. The sky was red. Suddenly, we heard the sound of a plane. I never heard a sound like that. We were all scared and lay on the ground waiting for death. And that we heard the sound of a loud explosion meters away from us. We started looking in each other's faces and silently saying goodbye. Turned out the bombing wasn't meant for us. It was targeting a car of wanted men on the road above. We kept lying down waiting for the second rocket, and all I could think was my two older brothers who were with me. I was more afraid for them than for myself, and I think they also felt the same way. I carried my sport shorts and ran away from the field. As I ran, I stepped on a piece of shrapnel. I took it out of my leg and went out onto the street and saw them. There were three martyrs, and you couldn't make out their features. The first one's legs were on fire. He was looking at me and at me. Among everyone here, he was warning me about something I didn't understand. It was when I knew when he was warning me about a car coming fast towards us. Then I knew the real meaning of death. And instead of being three martyrs, they could have been four. I was shocked at the scene. I stood there watching, and when I woke up after passing out, I ran home. The war came and went, and we're still living it. The victims are always the poor people who have nothing to do with anything. Even when there's an earthquake or a flood in any country, the victims are the poor people, as though there's a universal conspiracy against them. After the war, everyone started lying to everyone else. Lies, cheating, dishonesty, deceitfulness. For positions and interests, the leaders and powerful people commit slaughters and crimes without batting an eyelid or feeling any guilt. Poor people get poorer, and sick ones get sicker. I've lost trust in all models. The biggest speech from the biggest leader is bullshit. All speeches in the world don't warm up a cold person or someone sleeping in a tent after the war. The crisis is that the pulp world is watching us. And I know there's nothing going on, and they're still making speeches. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Christy, and I want to thank ATL Radical Art and Rosina for having me here today. Thank you for sharing space and camaraderie with me. And I'd like us to examine interconnectedness and the roles that we can all play. We're all here today because we believe in this lifetime that there will be a liberated and truly free Palestine. And believing that, you also probably or should believe in intersectionality, and therefore you believe in the liberation of all colonized spaces and all people around the world. Yeah. This includes the Democratic Republic of the Congo, this includes Haiti, this includes Hawaii, this includes the Philippines, Sudan, West Papua, Tigray, Syria, Burma, Uyghur, Kashmir, Cameroon, Armenia, Kurdistan, and all places needing liberation from occupation and colonization.
Yes, that's right.
We must decolonize from the systems placed by the white patriarchy. It is killing us, all of us. We are all suffering. Industrialization of food, covetization of wealth, health services, and technology is killing us. It isn't just black and brown people who are suffering. Asian and white people and indigenous people are suffering too. We are all suffering, and we are all being targeted and oppressed by the American oppressive system. American oppression by default uses capitalism to trick you into binary systems, which force you to categorize and indoctrinate you to believe that there are no other choices. It is our common suffrage which unifies us. We must have solidarity with people around the world and here at home. We must have space in our minds and an open heart for all. We must also advocate for and believe in liberation for all women, all trans lives, and all queer lives everywhere. We must strategize and organize together with strategic intentionalism, because best believe the government we live in, the education we get through public school, the division and fear we are spoon-fed by media, the mechanisms at play which pin our communities against each other, best believe it is all an intentional design, and it's been chipping away at us for decades or centuries, depending on how you look at it. We must play our roles now. I encourage you to show this to other white people. I full-heartedly believe that it's my duty as a white person to convince other white people to give a crap about problems other than themselves.
Yes.
More white people must know it is okay to fight for people who don't exactly look like you. It is okay to shut up and listen to others' lived experiences and take it for fact, because they have lived it, whilst oppressive systems have attempted to smear it. It is a westernized idea that you can only care about one thing or one problem at once. Remember, the intentional design by the patriarchy and the US government. It is intentional that they want you to be in survival mode. They want you to feel so desperate that all you care about is yourself and your own selfish entitlement
right.
to make it out.
That's the point.
It is okay to fight for the common good of all people, because when other people win, we all win.
Yes.
It is the oppressed versus the oppressors. And the oppressors are those who control the wealth. It's the stockholders, the people with wars and weaponry, cybersecurity and data technology, big oil, big pharma, big pesticide. Woo! BlackRock and Coldwell, who buy up neighborhoods. And also the Clark Foundation. What was the first name of the man who's here?
Arthur Blank.
Also, it's people like that who contribute to genocide and donate their money to weapons of war without regard for what's actually going on here and the people who actually need help and aid. It is an intentional design for working class to be spread out, that we are severed from each other. They try to disconnect us so that there's no chance of organizing together or overthrowing the oppressive systems that be. The government wanted to dismantle proper education since the 1960s and keep things out of sight, out of mind for the American people. They had to incite fear and hatred and division to ensure we would never get that close to winning again. And I'm talking about the 1960s with the Black Panthers. The US government is complicit in racism. It is complicit in genocide across the world.
Yeah.
The US government is complicit in creating colonized imperial world, which depends on the suffrage of the working class people to turn the dollars for the ultra rich. But you are equipped with knowledge today. You are equipped with righteous rage. Let's talk about art. You can see how fiction and film will write the stories that play out in real life. From Avatar's Way of the Water, to the book A Lesson Before Dying by Ernest Gaines, from Netflix's series Black Earth Rising about genocide in Congo to The Handmaiden's Tale, there is an indigenous painter named Kent Monkman who reclaims two-spirited people in the painting Honor Dance, which called out George Catlin's desire to extinguish indigenous customs before it can be more fully recorded. That is what the conquistadors, the colonizers, that is what they sought to do, to extinguish indigenous culture.
Shame!
From film and fiction to reality, we see the phenomenon clearly. Art reflects real life and helps to predict and assess the future. Art requires disruption of the norm. We will not conform to oppression. You know in your hearts that people were not put on this earth to labor or to suffer. We were put on this earth to create art, to unify in solidarity, and to uplift one another.
Yes!
We were put on this earth to enjoy all of life's goodnesses and to protect one another. We must organize, and it begins today. This is the good fight. This is what getting into good trouble is all about. We can create a better world to live in, but it starts right here, today, with you. It's our duty to find common ground with one another. Whether you are Black, Brown, White, Asian, Latina, or Indigenous, we all share commonality together. We are all being affected by rising rent, we're all being ignored by representatives, we all fear for our children and our future generations. We all want children to be safe. We all want access to healthy food. We all want more time with our families and less obligation to work for a corporation that doesn't care about us. We all want to have the freedom to walk down the street and not be targeted by how we look or dress or speak. Even if you are religious, you can find commonality. Multiple faiths believe that if you're rich, to give it away. Many religious faiths believe in not being idle and caring for your neighbors. It is our duty to remind each other that we share common ground, and it is our duty to fight alongside each other and find our common ground. We will have differences, and that's okay, but we will find far more common beliefs and common frustrations if we work together. It is our duty to love and uplift one another. In this shared space of commonality, I believe we will be able to strategize together, to get our boots on the ground and join organizations. And these organizations will teach you the tools you need to succeed. We must use every tool in our arsenal to win against our oppressors. These same organizations are leading policies and actions to stand against Cop City. Right here in Atlanta, we are Beating Heart, which connects the U.S. government to the struggle in Palestine. The Georgia International Law Enforcement Exchange was first established in 1992, and since then, our tax dollars have gone towards paying Israeli military to train our police force. They are militarizing our police actively, monitoring our daily walks of life, and censoring our media. Think about the acclaimed Secure Bill in D.C., where people would be arrested for wearing a mask or looking scary. Think about how just here in Atlanta, a bill to eliminate ski masks was just barely denied. These bills are anti-Muslim and anti-Black in nature, and are designed to further indoctrinate conformity and eliminate self-expression. This is fascism. This is about control and oppression, and we must do everything in our power to rebuke it. All over the nation, proposed cop cities are popping up, and we must do everything in our power to rebuke it. In Palestine, an Israeli smart fence was bulldozed, but they took that same technology and erected another one in the Haiti-Dominican Republic border. Israel is sending troops to the DR to be trained, and other parts of the, and to many other imperialistic places of power in the world. Their struggle, Palestine's struggle, is our struggle.
Yeah.
We are all aligned together. I don't believe radical change is really that radical. I don't think it's radical to not want tax dollars to go to blowing up babies or brutalizing people of color. I don't think it's that radical to want to live a life without oppression and suffrage. And I don't believe it's that radical to think we will have our demands met in this lifetime. Do you?
No!
In the name of people like Jean-Marion Robinson, in the name of Nex Benedict, in the name of Aaron Bushnell, and in the name of all Palestinian martyrs, we must strategize together against our oppressors. I believe in the liberation for all in this lifetime, free Palestine and free all colonized people. This is the end of capitalist and settler control.
Yes!
Yeah. By the U.S. in 1898,
mm-hmm.
We are a settler colony of the illegal U.S. settlement that tested bombs that they're using right now in Gaza. We are guinea pigs for imperialism, and so the Palestinian cause is our cause, and Boricuas all over the world are uniting for Palestine.
Boricuas for Palestine!
Woo! And I was also in Palestine. And let me tell you, social media cannot properly show you how bad it really is.
No.
It is 10 times worse than what any social media post can show you. So just keep that in mind as we fight for a free Palestine, a free Borinquen, Haiti, and all colonized people against U.S. imperialism. And our representative organization fighting for our freedom, the Aspiral Palante Collective. Feel free to look us up. So, Gaza Monologue. I am reading a story from Reem Afana, born 1996, Al-Saftawi Street. When I was young, I used to feel that I was the happiest child in the world. But the more I grow, and the more my mind grows, the more my worry grows. Because I start to understand things I did not. I started to know the meaning of a deprived child. The thing that upsets me and makes me cry the most are children's tears. All children in the world, regardless of their nationality, religion, or color. When I grow up, I want to be a pediatrician. And that's the hope that gives me a big push in this life. Even though I'm fed up, bored, and sad because Gaza doesn't have life anymore. Yesterday, I was sitting in school and I heard the sound of planes. I got really scared. I wanted to run away from school. I felt I was going to die because I remember the war. The scenes of war won't leave my mind. On the third day of the war, my family was sitting together, talking about what was happening in the war, and my grandmother was reassuring us so we wouldn't be scared. We were actually calmed, even though the sounds of rockets didn't stop. But my grandmother's warm voice was calming us. The phone rang. The lines never caught in the war, so when we heard the sound of the phone, we were happy. Hello. Yes? This is the Israeli Defense Army. You have 5 minutes to clear the house. It's for your own benefit. We have warned you. I couldn't stand on my leg anymore. Everyone in the house started yelling. My grandmother was the first one to run away. It was the first time I'd seen her going so fast. My dad held me and my sisters and told us not to be scared. He was pulling me to leave, but I was going to die if I didn't take Teddy Bear with me. I felt that I would betray him if I left him under the bombing. I escaped from Dad's hand and ran to my bear, took him in my arms and left. We all got far away from the house and sat down to wait for the 5 minutes. They were the longest 5 minutes in history. They became 10. We felt like there were years that passed. It was a whirlwind. Thoughts and dreams were thrashing about in my head and the world was spinning. I felt that the dream was being a doctor. That the dream of being a doctor was very, very far away. I held the bear and remembered myself when I was small. How I was always laughing. I want to go back to being small and stay small. I don't want to grow up. But the only thing that comforted me was the love of people who don't leave us for one moment. Gaza is full of love.
This is Anna for Indigo Radio in Atlanta, and that was Libre, who you were just listening to, Boricua for Palestine, speaking today at the Atlanta Radical Art Rally at the High Museum in Atlanta. And if you want to get in touch with Atlanta Radical Art that hosted the rally today, they are ATL Radical Art on Instagram. You can also email them at atlradicalart@gmail.com. We're going to go out today with Davina Salam. She is a musician, Palestinian, and she was at the rally today and sang one of her songs.
Everyone, I'm Davina. Hey. Davina Salam, and I'm Palestinian. I was a refugee coming to this country from the Gulf War. Long story there. We ended up actually kind of stranded here in America because we were just on vacation and then we got stuck here. This is a song I haven't performed before in front of people, so it's one I wrote, you know, kind of at the beginning, probably in October. Here it is.
Okay.
Ya Hayati. يا حياتي أنا أسفة أنا أسفة and I don't see the problem with saying from the river to the sea we deserve to be free. That they said about us. Freedom from the minds that dehumanize us. Freedom from the walls that occupy us. Freedom for our hearts that have lost so much. Go home. Free Palestina, free my Palestina, free Palestine. When will my people go home? Free Palestina, free my Palestina, free Palestine. Ya Habibi. We deserve to be free. Freedom from the lies that they said about us. Freedom from the walls that occupy.
Free Palestine.